Division 2, The Longings of Love, Song of Solomon, Chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys, Song of Solomon, Chapter 2, Verse 1. In Song of Solomon, Chapter 1, we saw that the essence of this song is love. We saw also the mutual fellowship of the king and his friend and her cry for his companionship. In this chapter, we behold her love greatly increased for him, which is expressed in words of appreciation of what he is and what he has done and said. Let us ever bear in mind that the king addresses the woman as love and she addresses him as beloved. This will avoid confusion in the interpretation and application of the song and in arriving at the deep spiritual teaching which it contains. It is quite common for people to call our Lord the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley. It is very illogical and unnatural to speak of a man as a rose or a lily. How strange that these figures should ever have been used of Christ. The rose and lily are the most beautiful, most fragrant, and most attractive flowers of the Judean plains and valleys. They figure the beauty and tender glory of the bride of Christ, whether in the place of honor and prominence or in the lowly places of isolation and pain for the sake of Jesus. The rose speaks especially of the tender glory of the bride of Christ because it grows on the plains or somewhat elevated lands, while the lily speaks of the lowly places of isolation and pain because it grows in the lowlands. Saints are trained in both localities for the bridal throne. Then, because the fair lady did not yield to false modesty but took the place accorded to her by her lover, he publicly announces her to be even more, saying, "As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters." Song of Solomon 2, verse 2. What a lesson this should be for us. It is hypocrisy to say more of ourselves than the Lord says, but it is most unworthy of him for us to say less of ourselves than he says, or to accept a lower place than he gives us. Has he not redeemed and saved us? Are we not a new creation when born again? Does not Christ call us sons and free? Then we should accept the title and state and praise him for them. Does he not mark the bride as distinct from other believers, even as he does the lily band among thorns? Let us not refuse a separation because it brings pain, but let us rather take grace to bear it. The king's deep compliment of his friend called forth from her a full and rich testimony of her lover. Testimony of her lover. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. Song of Solomon 2, verse 3. All believers are born the children of God through faith in Jesus, his eldest son. Though they thus become sons provisionally, they do not all grow up into sonship in actual experience. Therefore, they do not all afford shade for the weary, sun-scorched daughter. Their fruit, if they bear any, has not always the best taste. At the feet of Jesus, the eldest son and the well-beloved of the Father, we find delightful rest and shade and sweet and luscious fruit. Yes, he is more than simply shade and fruit to us. Observe what she said further. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Song of Solomon 2, verse 4. The name of the Lord is a shelter from the storm. To the one who takes his shade and fruit and rest, he is a house of wine. We become intoxicated with his very presence. His banner over us, spangled with grace, peace, and kindness, is love. A fear may arise that we must leave this place of holy revelry. Hence the cry, "Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples," or "strew me with apples, for I am sick of love." Song of Solomon 2, verse 5. This is the true bridal spirit, sick of love. How few saints are really lovesick for Jesus Christ. How few seek him and him only for himself alone or for what he is in himself. How few are experiencing the deep, loving, holy hilarity, that sweet, tender, mellow, soothing, satisfying fellowship with the Lord. And when we become thus really sick at heart for the love of Jesus, he quickly responds so that we can say, as did the Shulamite, His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. His name be praised. He soothes the feverish brow and puzzled brain. He stills the throbbing heart and lavishly fills the bosom with his love and covers us with his most affectionate caresses. It is God's mysterious appointment that lover and love should be lost in each other's devotion, fervently cherishing each other. Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, Hebrews 13:4. But such divinely ordained devotion most expressly symbolizes that more profound union and affection with which Christ and his bride sustain each other. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake love till it please. Song of Solomon 2:7, Revised Version. These words are also found in Song of Solomon chapters 4 and 8. The solemn adjuration of this verse is the natural outgrowth of intimate companionship with the king. We learn not to push things. The Hebrew word for love in this charge is neither dod nor rayah, the lady friend as in Song of Solomon 2, but it is ahaba as in verse 4 above. It is love as an abstract quality. Study it in Song of Solomon chapter 3 verse 10. The meaning is evidently that the lady does not want the daughters to interfere with her love nor with the love of her friend. Love should be allowed to be spontaneous in both parties. Stir not up nor awake love till it please. His banner over her was love, and she was responding to it fervently. Let the daughters keep their ladle out. Observe that the charge is by the rose and by the hinds of the fields. She means for them not to disturb love any more than they would the animals when they rest. Love should not be feverish, fretted, and go beyond all reason so as to rob its channels of needed rest and quiet. No doubt this refers to her rather than to him. What is the spiritual lesson? The attitude of some believers never gives the Lord any time of rest. They would stir up his love for the lost in a spirit of unbelief. They pray for their friends in a manner that seems to criticize the Lord. Why does he not bring my people in? They are not yielded to the tender, dying love of Christ, but seek to arouse it selfishly. Such saints treat other saints the same way. They have the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Romans 10:2. They seem to love Jesus more than real spiritual believers. They speak to them and of them as if they were indifferent. True love for Christ cannot be awakened by any carnal ladle. Love begets love. His love to us, made known through his word, stirs up our love to him. When we read or hear of his fervent love to us, our love flows out to Jesus with a warm, buoyant spontaneity. Some people would stir us up. However, let the religious gazelles and gospel hinds take it easy. Oh, let us learn the deep, sweet truth of a fervent love that abides and glides on unruffled and needs no daughters to arouse it to action. There is no reason why the lady love should be awakened by others. The progress of her affection forbids it. In chapter 1, she spoke of her lover twice as king and twice as my beloved. In chapter 2, she no longer calls him by the distant, though honored, title of king, but five times she bravely speaks of him by the endearing title, My Beloved. She concludes her warm testimony by exclaiming, My beloved is mine, Song of Solomon 2:16. Never again does she call him the king.